Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What I was talking about was during the week, you know, we have our meetings on Thursdays, and I meant that everybody come there with an open mind and be self-critical and work on the things you got to work on, and let's get better. As far as any off-the-field stuff, I'm not going to talk about any of that.
Aaron, is there anything you guys can do as an offense to help the receivers get open, or is it just...
Oh, I mean, it's all that. You know, it just comes down to release, having a plan to release, and proper depth, proper timing. You know, we've tried different things with rub routes, and it's just about having a plan at the line of scrimmage and then understanding when to be open, the timing of each route. But I see improvement from those guys. It just hasn't shown up consistently the last few weeks.
Aaron Rodgers yesterday talking about the meetings. I guess everyone went over to Aaron's house for his birthday. They made him a cake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
Kumbaya. I think they brought him a cake.
Oh, they didn't make it? They didn't make it?
I don't think football players can make cakes.
It's easy to make cakes.
Is it?
No. In fact, my wife, if she's listening right now, she should call in. I made her a cake one time for our anniversary.
Horrible.
It said 1.5 cups of water,
mm-hmm.
and I misread it, and I filled a bowl with 11 cups of water. There's just a bowl.
Is that WVU education?
Filled to the brim with water, and I'm like, I don't think this cake mix is going to soak all this up. And my mom was there.
Jello?
And she's like, you dumbass. What are you doing? So, yeah.
11 cups.
We got Oakmont Bakery around here.
I'm going to start with them making a cake. I want to start with 11 cups of water. The fact that you thought that was remotely possible is really worrisome. I'm worried about you.
Well, it was once I filled it up and I saw, you know what? This doesn't make much sense.
Not while you were pouring the cups. You were like,
man, this is taking a while.
A lot of cups.
I never made a cake before. I don't know what it takes. Clearly. I'll make you a cake right now, though. I've improved. You're allowed to get better.
No.
And the Steelers offense needs to get better. And you talked about it the other day. Ben Roethlisberger talked about it on his podcast the other day. Now Pat Bostic walks up in here and says it might be time for Rogue Rodgers. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I just mean being more aggressive. I mean, throwing a ball on first down, spreading things out a little bit, easy completions. You know, they're in this kind of run-run-pass world because they're so fixated on staying ahead of the sticks. And I get it. I mean, they aren't good enough up front to drop back 40 times in a game. That's not the game they want to play. But there are ways to throw the football and be aggressive. And maybe it's more flexibility at the line of scrimmage. Maybe it's Arthur Smith changing his approach a little bit and going a little bit off script. Maybe it's getting into no huddle and changing tempos. I mean, that's what we haven't seen. We've seen this kind of drip, drip, drip offense that has no explosion, has no, you know, change of pace. And I think they need to, and we've seen that over the years where they've been in these, you know, nip and tuck games, and all of a sudden they go no huddle and they score, or they have to throw it. They get down and then they claw back. What game was it? Indy last year with Justin Fields, where they have to throw caution to the wind, and that gets guys more opportunities. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers has proven, you know, I think most quarterbacks are better in volume. The more you throw it, the more rhythm you're in. You know, I used to not like being, you know, run, then third and 10. That's not fun. As a quarterback, you're in a situation where they know you have to throw it. It's a low percentage conversion situation. They're going to probably blitz you and force the ball out of your hand quick, and then you're going to get booed because you have to punt on fourth down. So you wonder, like, oh, we ran it on third and nine. Well, actually, the percentages might be better to convert. Pitt ran it on third and nine basically the day before and converted. Off. Yeah. So I'm going all over the place, but really, it's just being more aggressive, and I think he can dictate that. I really do. I mean, listen, you brought him in here. You waited on him. You waited on him to come in here and win football games. You're asking him to do it your way. What does his way look like? And I'm not pretending to say that he has no influence over the game plan and that his wishes aren't being granted. But if they are a little bit, how about a lot?
What do you have to lose?
If Arthur Smith has more in the tool belt, pull the tools out. And let's go show something different. Because, you know, I'm just tired of watching this hyper-conservative, limit-mistake offense that you have the same questions and the same answers after every game, and particularly late in the season. And I would love to see him, with his reputation, seemingly his leadership in that locker room, just go down in a blaze of glory, man. And just go rip it. If this is going to be it for him, too. Like, if this is it, you're playing with a broken wrist with three bones. Just go down swinging, man.
Can he go rogue based off of, like, what personnel Arthur Smith calls? Like, say it's, like, a certain personnel where it's you know, defined where they want to run a certain batch of plays. Can he still go rogue?
I mean, there's 1,000 different mechanisms to change play calls and to have freedom at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you can group calls. You can have multiple play calls based on down and distance, based on personnel group, based on formation. But you have to understand the chain of command. That's where this gets uncomfortable.
So does that start now, or does that happen during the game, like on Sunday? Like,
it starts now. I mean, it's how are we attacking situations? What's our game plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? What defensive personnel are we worried about? How are we going to protect? What personnel or formations have given them trouble? And then how do you devise a game plan that you still have to be somewhat balanced, right? You can't just chuck it around, but that gives him the ability to get in and out of plays. And then the worrisome thing is, you know, the check to Jonnu, he's not getting that. Like, what are we doing? I mean, that's the worry. If he's going to go up there and check and alert plays and, you know, kill plays, and then, you know, heaven forbid, just completely audible and go to something on the fly, everyone's got to be on the same page. And, you know, that's where the offseason and so forth comes into this thing. But when you go 2 minute or you have a hurry up or a gas type of set of plays, you can alter that throughout the course of the game very easily and communicate it. But this is where, like, that's once the huddle's broken. Or you're approaching the line of scrimmage, you're on the field as the players now, between the white lines. From a quarterback, play caller, head coach perspective, right? The head coach is dictating, to some degree, management of situations, right? You got two downs here. Hey, let's punt and play defense. All those types of things. The coordinator's then reading that tenor and trying to call plays that are in line with what the head coach is wanting and expecting. I think to go rogue would require the coordinator to be complicit, because, you know, the job of the quarterback is to protect the coordinator's play call, because the coordinator's seeing all variables. So the quarterback sees a lot, but you have to play once the ball is snapped. So I'm looking at a field safety and feeling a field blitz. I might not see what the backside end's doing, right? I might not see if there's a twist stunt. I might not see those types of things. The coordinator and the people upstairs are seeing all that. But to have a more aggressive mindset, or to give the quarterback more freedom, which any quarterback, more freedom is going to lead to the possibility of throwing the football more often on normal downs, or changing plays, or going late, you know, all those things that can, if they're not executed well, can be broken plays and can be negative plays.
Mm-hmm. Chances.
So you have to live with that risk.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that's the crossroads here. But if anybody has the credibility to carry that through here in Pittsburgh as a quarterback of the football team, but we've now learned through trial and error that he is without question their best option at quarterback. And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Give him the keys to the car and let him roll. And let's see what happens. I mean, that's what everyone talks about, you know, Ben. Ben had the keys to the car. Arians was his coordinator. He picked the next coordinator to follow him, right? He picked Finkel. That's his guy. It's Ben's offense. This has been Mike Tomlin's offense.
Yep.
And that's quite clear. And I'm all for seeing what Aaron Rodgers' offense looked like here in Pittsburgh. And if it could be a template moving forward. And if it is, then there is hope to get this thing right.
My question and concern, and maybe I'm totally out to lunch on this, is what if Rodgers at this advanced age looks at the offense through the same lens Mike Tomlin does?
Doubt it.
I need to get it out of my hand quick. I don't want to take the hits. It's what happened in New York last year. Got it out quick. He knows he's not the same mobile guy. I'm sure it's somewhere in between, but what if he's more in line with Tomlin's way of thinking now than the old gunslinger of the past? Protect the football.
But this being your last go-around, I don't know.
I saw him roll in that game Sunday night to the right on a three-man route to the single receiver side, which is, you got nothing. If it was four wide or 11 personnel and you had four in the route, he's plenty mobile enough to go make plays. Now, you're worried about getting crushed by Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa, whoever that was, because you whiff.
Did that hurt you just seeing it?
Yeah.
That looks so bad.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta shuffle to move one guy, and then all of a sudden you got a guy climbing up your back and just throwing your face into the turf. And he's got that little diaper chin strap that doesn't help keep the face mask just crushed to the bridge of his nose.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd be going to a two-link, you know. Yeah, if I were him, but he won't do it. That's the Brett Favre.
Yep,
I like that too. Be able to strap it up like during practice. You just have no chin strap on. Kind of look like Brett Favre, but Brett Favre kept playing. Now his last play, he fell asleep.
Yeah, from Arthur Motes of all people.
Right
when they were playing outside at the Minnesota field,
right.
Yep. And it was like getting tackled into concrete.
Right, but my thing is like, he clearly is frustrated. Aaron is. He's showing an unbelievable amount of restraint right now, and he's towed the company line to this point. Now he's fringing on calling people out.
Yep.
He's having people over to his house, whether it be for his birthday or to watch film or both. He is on the precipice of another losing season to close his career. He's playing with a broken damn wrist and now a broken nose, or at least a battered nose.
That sucker's got to be broken.
Yes.
Just play. Go out and play, man. Like, and if you find lightning in a bottle and it inspires the whole football team, because that's what happens. You saw it happen with Pitt this year. Put a quarterback in the game and there's a different vibe. You make a little change philosophically. You become a little bit more aggressive. Because listen, two runs in a pass is a quick three and out.
Yep.
So are three passes. But if at least you're being aggressive, the defense sees that. And you make a big play or two, it gets everyone juiced. And there's just not enough at-bats right now, in my opinion.
More on this when we come back. And also a statistic that I have now seen that's as damning a statistic that you could possibly have for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into the Penn State conundrum at the bottom of the hour. 412-928-9370 is the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You give us a ring in the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
50 years. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I don't have a lot of faith that things are going to turn around for the Steelers, because it's not just that they're 6-6 this year. It's that over the course of the last 17 games, a regular season's worth of ball, they're 6-11. But how about this? From Matt Williamson of Steelers.com. I love Matt. He's a very smart football guy. The Steelers have a yardage differential of negative 1,672 yards over their past 17 games. That is the worst in the NFL. That is laughably bad.
Both sides of the ball are culpable for that, too.
Exactly right.
It's not just the offense. Now, they do feed each other, but it takes two to put together 1,000. Differential.
1,672 yards they've been outgained over the course of what would amount to a regular season's worth of games.
Mm.
They're bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're bad. They've lost 5 out of 7, and they don't have a single thing to turn their that they can hang their hat on. And it's why you guys have said the last couple of days, just let Rodgers go rogue. What do you have to lose? You're bad. It's still all out in front of you. If you can change something that could spark this thing, you can win the division and host a home playoff game, and there you have it. They also, this from Matt Williamson, the Steelers are averaging 9.8 plays per game of 10-plus yards ahead of only one team, the Titans. Cleveland Browns.
Oh, the Browns.
Yeah.
Woof. Woof.
You're right, though, that it's both sides of the ball. They've also played 160 more snaps on defense than they have on offense.
Which is part of offense, too. I mean, the offense needs to stay on the field.
No doubt.
But they let James Cook run behind a patchwork offensive line for what? What did they run for?
250.
250.
My God. Highest paid defense in football.
And Mike Tomlin blamed it on attrition. My man, they had a 20-yard run on the first play of the game.
First play.
That wasn't no attrition. That was the first play. They're fresh as daisies.
Yep.
First play, bang, 18 yards. Joey Porter, good job on the contain there, you jerk off. And early in the season, now it's the offense more, I'd say, than the defense for the time of possession stuff. But early in the season, defense couldn't get off the field on third downs. Not that they've been much better in that regard, but it's both. It's both. And you're the oldest team in the league, and now your old defense is on the field for 2.5 games, really, when you think about it, more than the offense. How's that going to age your group? Not well. Not well. Nothing a little Adam Thielen can't fix, though, right, guys?
Hey.
Adam Thielen.
Hey, I mean, can't hurt.
I'd elevate MVS and play Thielen this
year.
Yeah,
both.
I'm with you.
I'd play them both. Like, you're at the point where you just, and I'm not talking about like 7-step drops to throw it. Like, throw the intermediate passing game, throw the rhythm passing game, like those types of things. I mean, throw a fade ball up to DK, throw a fade ball up to MVS. He's 6'4". Like, you're throwing fades and corner routes to guys that are 5'7". Like, seriously, it's a small window. It's a real small window. Unless you're lobbing the ball up downfield for them to run under it, you need a guy with some catch radius.
Ben said it back in the day. Ben wanted bigger receivers.
Yeah.
It's easier to throw the ball to big guys.
Well, you either, if you're fast and quick, you better be a really good route runner to be able to separate.
Yes.
And like
usually you do from the slot.
Running a 4-2 or running a 4-3 doesn't necessarily mean you're going to separate. You may need more time to separate if you run that fast. But how quick are you in and out of breaks? How detailed are you in your routes? How what's the breadth of your route tree, all those things. Like, and they don't have it. I mean, I would be willing to bet that Adam Thielen can get open in a slot.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Roman Wilson. And you wonder why, like, oh, Rodgers missed Roman Wilson. Read the fine print. Right depth. Right angle. Like, read the fine print. The wind blowing 40 mile an hour from left to right on that particular throw. And Roman Wilson is throwing his hands up. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Are you kidding me, dude? Like, get out of here. Go make a tackle on special teams and then come back and make a play when the ball comes your way.
Are you guys ready for this? There are 1,760 yards in a mile.
The Steelers. Did somebody text you that?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no way you just thought of that.
No, of course not. I put 11
cups. Why do you have your hood up?
I'm freezing cold today.
Why don't you turn up the thermometer over there?
Oh, we're at 70.
Yeah.
What's the ideal temperature in here? 72?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm freezing. The Steelers, pretty much, we'll round up, have been outgained by a literal mile over their last 17 games.
Yeah. No good.
Oh, my God. I can't talk about the Steelers anymore. We will, obviously, a lot more during the show. Let's get into Penn State coming up next. Let's because yet another coach turned them down yesterday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Steelers have been outgained by a literal mile the last 17 games, so we're sad about them. If you're a Penn State fan, you're down bad today. If you're a Penn State Steelers fan, you're looking at your two-guy recruiting class going, golly. Now, Ben Roethlisberger says that Penn State should hire Mike Tomlin. That won't happen. I think I might pay Mark Caboli $500 to ask Tomlin about that next Tuesday. See how that goes?
Oh.
When Benzie asked him about the USC and LSU thing, he lost it. He said, has anybody asked Sean Payton that question?
Those guys are winning, though. I watched that clip yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He said, has anybody asked Andy Reid that question? Anybody asked Sean Payton that question? During that time, those guys were somewhat winning.
Andy Reid sure as bleep was.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about the Steelers just for the next 10 minutes. We need to take a break. Let's talk about Penn State, who got turned down yesterday, according to a bunch of national insiders, by Jeff Brohm at Louisville. This after being spurned by Kalani Sitake from BYU. The crumble cookie guy came in. They paid him a whole bunch of money. Brian Hartline, who you figured would be on Penn State's list, he takes the USF head coaching job. There is only one guy that makes sense right now for Penn State.
Yep.
And it's Terry Smith.
He's the guy that's made sense mostly the whole time, in my opinion. He's the only guy that could keep somewhat the things together. Now, there's obviously the rub of the old-timey Penn State crew that he...
The 409 pin people.
Yes. That, don't mesh well with the newer version of Penn State people. But He's the only one that could keep together. He's the only one that could bring in any type of players for them to be competitive at least a little bit next year. I don't know why they didn't look at him in the first place. And they're, every day that passes, it makes it look worse that they're not even given an opportunity. If I were him, I'd be like, you know what? At this point, I'm out. If
yeah, he loves Penn him, State, though.
He does.
He loves Penn. He's a Penn State and guy.
You won't find anybody better that
I'm
loves
saying,
Penn State more
I'm saying
either.
He ain't going to leave. Like, he'll take that job if they give it to him on
course
the day before the season next year.
If they offered it to him 2 weeks ago, they definitely have more than two guys in that.
His value's going up day by day, I'll tell you that much.
Yep. Because you're right, Doran. They need to keep that current roster together. We were talking about this off the air because you missed the high school window, most of it. You got the transfer portal window coming up, but now you're in that kind of position where you got to add so many guys that you can't afford to add that many guys. You got to keep that roster together. There's one man who can do it, and that's Terry Smith.
They went from what'd you say?
No, I'm saying, like, why not take a flyer, like a 2-year?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, no, I know.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying they in a span of 2 months have gone from number 2 in all the polls, game day, night game, hell of a football game against Oregon, to firing their coach, who would want average what 10 wins a year, and promising to go out and upgrade, to basically blowing the whole thing up. I mean, seriously, it is a cautionary tale, in the truest sense of that phrase. And now, the most prudent thing to do from my chair is to try to keep it together as best you can. You have no incoming recruits. You're going to, if you bring somebody new in, your current players by the day, I've been in a locker room when you have a coaching, when you like a coach and that coach is let go for whatever reason and somebody new and much different comes in, and if there was a transfer portal in 2010, our whole roster at Pitt would have been gone.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have seen Aaron Donald playing at Pitt. You wouldn't have seen Ray Graham have the year he had. You wouldn't have seen some of these guys, man. Devin Street, that played in 2011 for Todd Graham. They would have been gone. It would have been different. They don't hire Terry Smith. there'll be a lot of suitors for their players when that portal opens up the 2nd of January. So if you're sitting at that desk in State College, you have to be like, whoa, this did not go as planned. But, I mean, Brian Daboll?
I mean, does that get anybody excited?
Joe Brady?
That would be not a terrible hire.
You hire, you know, I mean, there's just, was it Munkin and Army?
Yeah.
Like, good coach, but you basically stood up there and promised to make a splash. And there's no water to make a splash in anymore.
One of the rumored new potential candidates is Matt Campbell from Iowa State, who I love. I think he's a hell of a coach. That's a really hard place to win, and he's won more there than anybody has ever won. I think that would be a good hire. I don't know that I want to walk into that mess. He's got a great thing going there. And I realize they didn't have the year that they wanted to have there, but you've got job security for life there. You've already exceeded expectations. You're a statue guy there.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is they hire Terry Smith, and Penn State fans convince themselves that's the right hire. And I like Terry Smith, and he's going to recruit the bejesus out of that place. But that's what James Franklin did. So if you would ask Penn State fans when they fired Franklin, would you be okay with Terry Smith being the head coach? 100% of fans would say no. The only reason fans would celebrate it now is because of the desperation that has befallen the program.
Yeah.
Terry Smith, he can recruit. So could James Franklin. Franklin's deal was that he couldn't win the big game. I'm not saying Terry Smith can't win the big game, but there's absolutely no evidence that he can. You just hired a watered-down James Franklin. That's what you've done if you hire Terry Smith. And he could prove me totally wrong on that. He could get that thing humming. I don't know, but it doesn't excite people.
I know this. I think that the situation of, you know, these coaches turning down Penn State or not even listening to Penn State and getting new offers and re-upped at the places that they're at, I think that the overarching issue is that most coaches are probably worried that they wouldn't have the elongated career. And that seeing James Franklin's situation, it's like, man, will I get fired after 1 year or after 2 years if I don't do it, this? Like, how long is my lifespan as the Penn State coach? And in Hartline's situation, I knew that he wasn't going to take that. I mean, I said it multiple times. Like, I mean, with the whole Ohio State,
right,
Penn State thing. But, like, if I was a Penn State fan that wanted Hartline, why would I want him? Because as soon as the Ohio State job would open up, he's going to leave to go back to Ohio State.
Right.
Like, that's all he's waiting for. That's why he's going to get. That's why USF makes so much sense. It's like, let me get my feet wet. So in 5, 6, 7 years, whatever Ryan Day says, whatever his time's up, he's going to be the next coach in waiting. So, like, you know, this situation, then you have the whole Jimmy Sexton thing, the agent thing, kind of, you know, that story about that. So it is a mess, but at the same time, it's like there's a guy that's standing there that cares more than anybody about that school, about that program, played there, recruits better than, you know, a majority of recruiting coordinators across the country, that everybody, all the players want to play for. Like, that is the answer. The answer's right in front of your face.
Well, if you want to, I mean, I'm putting myself in Pat Kraft's shoes, which is hard to fathom. I mean, at this point, guys are turning down a job for one of a couple different reasons in my mind. A few, probably. One, they had a better offer, right? I mean, LSU's a better job,
yes,
than Penn State. Florida's probably a better job than Penn State. Is there a clearer path to a playoff and a conference championship at Penn State? Probably. Two, they realize that the previous guy won 10 games a year and couldn't get over the top, and they wonder if it's a toxic culture and that you can't do it there, and it you're just going to run into the same buzzsaw. Or three, there is some sort of back channel blocking going on by, you know, agents and so forth, because that is a world that exists out there.
Because it's not about the money.
No, the money's there.
Right.
I mean, when you get over $10 million a year, we're talking about rounding errors.
Right.
Like, what are we doing? But if you're Pat Kraft, like, to really recalibrate, you might need to burn it to the ground. Think about it. Like, this is where the Steelers are at, because they've perpetuated the same thing. You know, like, to save it, you hire Terry Smith. But if he's a mastermind, let's just throw this out there. If he's a mastermind and he has somebody the whole way, he's just letting this thing burn. Whole roster is going to go, what's that do? It lowers expectations in year one, in year two. Penn State's always going to have high expectations. But you lower the expectations, because if you hired a guy right away and you brought in Brian Hartline, or you brought in, you know,
Kurt Cignetti
or Eli Drinkwitz, it's 10 wins or more, or you're
mm-hmm.
a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have two recruits. Your team's gone in the portal. You got to bring in a new team. You got the Rich Rod runway. So I look at it both ways.
You
know, now, either way, though, going back to the beginning of it, just watching Pat Kraft's press conference and reading the tea leaves, you felt like he was going to go quick.
Yep.
And it was going to be a splash.
Yep.
And they felt like they were going to go from good to great. Now they're going from good to blowing it up.
Yep.
And that is, it happened fast, man. That's why you got to be so careful.
You know who's the next rumored guy? Manny Diaz, Duke. Which, again, isn't going to excite people.
He was already there, though, right?
He was there as their DC.
DC, yeah.
He failed at Miami. He got replaced at Miami. He goes to Duke. He's done a nice job there. They won a lot of games last year, especially relative to Duke. They're in the ACC championship game this year. That doesn't excite anybody, though.
It doesn't excite anybody, but, like, God, this is how I would look at it. And it's like, I'm doing it at Duke. Duke, if they win the ACC championship game, their percentage of getting into the playoffs is decent, right? Like, it is.
They'd have a shot.
They'd have a shot, but, like, you're doing it there. You gave Duke a shot. What the expectations at Penn State, if you don't do it, it's going to be insane. At Duke, the expectation is, it's like, wow, look at what Manny Diaz did at Duke right now. That is a better situation, in my opinion, than going somewhere like Penn State, where the expectations are very high.
Well, I mean, if you're Manny Diaz, they're going to pay you probably $4 million more
than
Penn State. And he worked there before and knows the place. Like, he's been a head coach. And I like Terry Smith. I respect Terry Smith. His last head coaching experience was at Gateway High School. And you're probably going to be in a situation where you're going to have to hire two coordinators. Your offensive coordinator has been an abject failure, and your D coordinator is going to get a bigger job. Period. Like, you're paying that guy Jim Knowles a lot of money, and he's probably going to get he's a heck of a coach, and it's not working there. Like you're going to give him the keys to do that at that level? I know he can recruit. There's a lot of guys that can recruit.
I mean, he has a decent winning percentage right now since he's taken over. I mean, I'd go based off of that.
With things in place, right?
Yeah.
You got to run your own program for a whole year now. I think he'd do a fine job, but is it a long-term solution?
No, not at all. I would take a flyer to see how it goes while I
think they're probably
thoughts.
Up against it with that, to be honest with you, unless they pull someone out of the woodwork. I mean, Matt Campbell wouldn't excite me.
No, he would only excite me, it sounds like. We're going to take your calls on this, Penn State fans, if you want to vent, if you want to throw some names out there. We'd love to talk about it with you at 412-928-9370. We're going to quiz Callis coming up next. Wow, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. That music means it's time to quiz Nicholas Harry Callis. Who are they brought to us by, Dorrant?
Reed Building Supply.
Bang.
Can I follow up with a question?
Yeah.
About
the story Dorrant was just asking?
No, just how was... Oh, okay. Have you talked to Lee since last week?
Sterling? We texted all weekend.
Yeah. How was the pie?
The pie was great. He loved the pie. Are you ready, Harry?
Yes.
All right.
Harry, who's had a great day, by the way, because he pranked Austin Bechtold in a way that will never not be funny. So we're Team Harry.
We are.
We might not be for the next 5 minutes, but we are in general
this
Team
is,
Harry.
This is probably going to be tough, as usually every week is. Are you ready, Callis?
Sure.
Current or former Baltimore Ravens and what position they play or played? Now, all these Baltimore Ravens that I will name, most people who watch football will know. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What position they play or played?
How many are these?
I have to tell you whether they're current or former.
No. You just have to say what position they play.
Got it. Okay.
Number one, Terrell Suggs.
Safety.
That is incorrect.
Cornerback.
That is incorrect.
I wouldn't guess multiple times, Harry. I don't think you're helping yourself.
Suggs back on the hash.
Terrell Suggs.
About 6'6", 285, playing safety.
Played linebacker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Outside linebacker.
Outside backer.
He was an edge guy.
Yes. Number two, Anquan Boldin.
Wide receiver.
That is correct. Good job, Callis. Anquan Boldin was a wide receiver. He was very good. He was also very good with the Cardinals. All right, number three, Zay Flowers.
Tight end.
That is incorrect.
Wide receiver.
That is correct.
There we go.
But you were incorrect. Zay Flowers is currently a wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. Number four.
He's 5'9", 180 pounds.
Tight end.
He's a tight end at Fort Cherry.
Oh, man. You went there.
Wow.
Number
you
four.
You went there with your guy.
Jamal Lewis.
Running back.
That is correct. Jamal Lewis was a running back for the Baltimore Ravens. Number five, Isaiah Likely. That is incorrect.
Linebacker. Linebacker.
That is incorrect.
What?
Isaiah Likely is a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens right now. Number six, Tony Siragusa.
Oh, man.
Quarterback.
Oh, get the...
What? What'd you say?
Goose, quarterback.
That is incorrect.
6'3", 340 for our guy, Tony.
Tony Siragusa was a defensive lineman. He was a defensive tackle. Number seven, Torrey Smith.
Safety.
That is incorrect. Torrey Smith was a wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. Number eight, Willis McGahee.
Oh, he wasn't he a safety?
That is incorrect.
I'm thinking of William Gay. Sorry.
Why is everyone a safety?
That is incorrect. Willis McGahee was a running back for the Baltimore Ravens. Number nine, Ed Reed.
Safety.
There you go. Ed Reed was a safety for the Baltimore Ravens. Number 10, Kyle Hamilton.
Wide receiver.
That is incorrect.
Oh,
Kyle Hamilton is a safety for the Baltimore Ravens. Number 11, Roquan Smith.
A linebacker.
That is correct. He is a linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. All right, last but not least, number 12, Rod Woodson.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Don't tell me. Defensive lineman.
Oh, my God.
He played for the Steelers, too, right?
He did.
He did. You know, may have lined up at D-line maybe once. Rushing a
Rod
extra
Woodson.
Point.
Is he a linebacker?
Oh, man.
No.
Rod Woodson
Dude,
was
keep going
a corner.
Back. Stop. Keep going back.
And a safety. He was a corner and a safety.
So I should have guessed safety later in there.
Harry's got a lot of skills. Like, his rap tomorrow is going to be incredibly popular.
This is the display of his weakness.
Defensive lineman.
That was.
Yeah, that's it.
The producer on an award, Marconi-winning sports morning show in the city of Pittsburgh, who grew up in Pittsburgh, does not know what position a Hall of Fame player for the Pittsburgh Steelers played.
He wasn't alive, yeah.
He was alive.
What year was that?
2000. 2001.
I was three-ish.
Rod Woodson, defensive lineman.
What did you study at Waynesburg?
Sports broadcasting.
More the Lanny Fratteri didn't teach you about Rod Woodson.
No, he taught us how to prepare for shows, though, I guess.
Did he, fella?
Might want to go back and revisit the PowerPoint. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High today of 31, low of 15. Tomorrow, high of 33, low of 13.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.